You're listening to DraftKings Network.
And before we get to the show, we just want to tell you that support for today's Cooligans is brought to you by Manscaped.
That's
which,
right.
If you don't know, that's it's the best below the waist grooming, dude.
Correct. Yes, I'm very much aware. I've been a Manscaped customer for probably about like a year now.
Which is good, because I think people who've met you and seen how young your face looks assume you don't grow hair down there.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm here to, you know, to like tell, this is really a message to the doubters, okay? This isn't a Manscaped ad. This is
no.
Letting you know I grow hair down there, okay? If anybody was interested, and also stop sending me those messages for those requests, okay?
Right? We're not starting a weird OnlyFans, okay? I certainly do. I'm a very hairy person. And let me tell you something. I'm really happy about this because I have hurt myself pretty bad in the past trying to get rid of the hair down there, which I wouldn't even do if it wasn't for my wife saying, yo, could you do something about this?
Yeah, that's how your wife talks. She's like, yo, look, fam, I'm going to need you to kind of like trim the hedges a little bit, all right? Because it's become a problem.
All right, when you go to the bathroom, it looks like you be shaving a teddy bear. So I need you to do something about that. Long hair don't care. You should care, my G. But I have. I kept an old beard trimmer, you know? Mm. And that's what I was using. But it nicked me. It nicked me real bad. I screamed. And I didn't know what to put on it, so I put rubbing alcohol on it. That was a horrific mistake.
Wow. This feels like a kink more than anything. Yeah. I'm like, what? Everything you're doing seems to be the wrong decision. Okay.
I've never pleasured myself better. No, it was horrific. But that's what I use. When I used to shave my face, I used to use rubbing alcohol. Or when I really buzz the beard, the hair on my neck or whatever, I'll use rubbing alcohol because it really closes up your pores. So I was like, well, I'll just use this. This is my aftershave. Let's just say it was a calamity. There was a lot of screaming. The neighbors called the cops. Yeah. It was a lot going on. But that doesn't happen anymore because now I got this Manscaped, which has this really cool sort of guard here that stops, you know, your skin from falling in. And it's got a light.
That's
so now
right.
You can see what's going on down there.
That's right. This is the lawnmower 3.0, and it's
the 3.0, baby.
Okay, it is really great, and it's usually we're not you know, on this show we don't just, you know, talk about testicles and balls and whatever else you want to.
You
call
know
them.
We do.
You know, but it's not the focus. But this
that's
is,
a good point.
This is you know, we're dedicating time to make sure that our listeners, you know, dudes who want to take care of themselves down there.
Or ladies, right?
Yeah,
you wanna shave your hoo-ha, you know, or you wanna buzz it down,
okay,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I never knew Alexis could reach that pitch. That was quite
only
high.
When I'm talking about that. So, but hey, you know, it's COVID. Maybe you don't want to go to the salon or where do the ladies, you know?
Yeah. Look, this is why we need Manscaped, because most men have no idea what goes on down there.
They don't know how
other people do it. They don't know how what we're supposed to do, but pick up, go to manscaped.com and pick up the lawnmower, right? So if you use the promo code gully21, you will receive 20% off and free shipping. And I highly recommend it. With the lawnmower in itself, you can use it in the shower. It has
it's waterproof.
It's waterproof. You can use it. It has a great LED light for precision, you know? Because even
right.
If you are in a well-lit room, there's certain areas that you can't really see, okay?
Right. Unless you got weird lights on the floor of your bathroom. And then you a freak and you need this joint, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You need to be clean down there.
You're quite prepared. But no, it is it's a great product. Manscaped also has a bunch of different, you know, you can get like a care package that has like...
You get underwear, t-shirts, you can get ball deodorant.
Deodorant, okay.
Did you know that? Ladies, buy this for your manses. You know? Okay. Did you know that your balls shouldn't smell?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Don't put it under in your armpits, okay?
No.
It goes in a different spot, okay?
I actually thought the smell was the appeal. Turns out it is not.
No. The whole pheromone thing has been debunked, okay? So
yeah.
Ignore it. But go to manscaped.com and make sure to use the promo code GULLY21 for 20% off and free shipping. It's a great, great product. And thank you, Manscaped, for supporting today's show.
Yeah, and also, hey, you know, use it on your ass. Come on.
Okay, that's how we end it. Tonight on the Cooligans, we are trying to figure out what is going on with Edinson Cavani and the Uruguayan Players Association and Manchester United, because there's a lot of miscommunication. So we try to break it all down. We also talk about what's going on in La Liga with Messi, with Koeman, and if they're going to be able to actually win La Liga this year.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Ian Joy, who does so many things. We don't have enough time to cover it all. He works for YES. He does the NYCFC game calling. And he also works for CBS covering Champions League. That and more today on the Cooligans.
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here. And I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following. Keep listening. Keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, yes.
Come on.
Yes. Okay. I feel like I should be in a mosh pit right now.
Right? Especially with that hair, yo. Okay. I like how your hair is just, it all seems to want to go up, even the sides. What, do you sleep upside down? What are you, a bat?
Okay. They call me Chrissy COVID, all right? You know?
Don't have no Polanco soup. We gotta lock it down again.
What's good, everybody? Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever existed.
That's right. It's also the gulliest soccer show that's ever existed. Okay.
All right, and I can confirm I am not a bat. Right.
That's what he wants you to believe, folks.
Okay, this show is not called Fake News FC, all right? But no, we are the Cooligans. We're excited to be here. We have an incredible show today. This is definitely a hot one. We're going to be joined by Ian Joy. You've seen him on YES Network calling NYCFC matches. You've seen him on CBS, yeah. Analyzing Champions League and Europa League. You've seen him on YES Network talking about the Yankees. Okay,
dude, he's everywhere.
Okay, and we talked to him about his incredible playing career, playing for different MLS clubs like RSL, the Timbers, and playing in Bundesliga for FC San Pauli. So a lot to discuss with the man. First off, today, let's start in England. Start in Manchester, because this is a story right up our alley when it comes to the things that being lost in translation when it comes to Spanish, right?
Or also sometimes just being misunderstood, you know, which is really my hat to wear. You know, that is my cross to bear in this world.
Okay, let's do a little, crisis management for Edinson Cavani, okay?
Okay. And look, we know this is a sensitive subject, but let's start with I'm half Uruguayan. And my grandmother black, okay? And this is also just a part of Caribbean Latin culture.
Yes, this right? is. I grew up with this as well. So if people do not know, Edinson Cavani, obviously for striker for Manchester United, banned 3 matches, fined £100,000, I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of money, okay? Right? because he was complimented on Instagram by
another professional player posted his photo. And I guess congratulated him for either a goal or getting in the first game. Something to do with Manchester United. It was a photo of him from Manchester United. So he shared that in his story and said, essentially, thanks, dude. You know what I mean?
Essentially, yes. Yeah. But what he wrote literally was, gracias, negrito.
Yeah.
Which in English, a literal translation is just translating to, thank you, little black guy or little
young black person.
Yeah. So the FA, they saw this and they were like, we gotta ban you. Like,
look, if the word has N, G, and R, the FA's like, we ain't playing with it.
We're okay.
Yeah, banned.
So look. This has been an issue that Cavani, he was outright. He was just like, I didn't mean anything by this. This is something that we say in my country. This is my friend that I'm talking to. There's no racist anything to it. There's no racial overtone.
There's not even it doesn't even have an origin in race. Like, there's nothing about it. Latin America is made up of so many different types of people that, you know, it's no different than saying thank you, tall guy, or, you know, saying that someone is darker skin has doesn't have the connotation to it that it does in England. Now, I kind of understand where the English FA is like, we can't even let a loophole, and they shouldn't. And I understand him getting punished. I understand all that. I do have some issue with them saying it was racist language. It's interpreted as racist language, but give the guy a little respect. He certainly didn't mean it. The other player's like, hey, whoa, fam.
Yeah.
You know, because I even saw on Twitter, which is where you're going to find this, people were like, yo, he used the N-word. It's like, that doesn't, you can't say that for all N-words.
Yeah,
you
know? Every word is that starts with an N is not the N-word.
Yeah. My friend's name is Nancy. She's a very nice person. I would never say her first name is the N-word. You know what I mean? And in this situation, I could understand the confusion. And I do believe, because of the way it's translated in English culture, that is punishment. You know, you should be punished for it.
Yeah, there's a rule. Basically, the rule is in the book saying that if any player uses any racist language or makes any kind of racial statement,
or says something with regard to someone's color, race, or religion, or something, that you get in trouble. Which this fits that rule.
As it is written, you understand why, like, especially a 3-match ban seems so severe, and this fine for what the actual, you know, quote unquote crime is, right?
There's just players that have hailed Hitler after a goal, 1-match ban.
Yeah. See, my problem here is that it's definitely too harsh a penalty without understanding the nuance of, like, what he meant and the context. The context is basically erased, and it's like, you can't do it under any circumstance, any reason.
Well, the thing is that they're saying, well, your culture is racist, and it's like, you're disparaging an entire Latin American culture when you do that.
And I'm not necessarily saying, you know, like, I didn't interpret it as they're saying your culture is racist, but though as the rule is written, it's like, if you behave in a way that seems racist to us, then therefore it is racist, right? I mean, so that's why you understand the penalty. The issue I sort of have with, like, your Uruguayan FA or the Players Association, like, you've seen. Several Uruguayan players mentioned this, and they have retweeted the statement and posted the statement, and
the tone is off.
Yeah, it's like, it's perfectly fine to defend Cavani without also accusing the FA of actually being racist towards Uruguayan people.
Is there something more Latin though? Is there? Like, dude, you hit me. Your car hit me by being in the way of my car. What are you talking about? You can't sue me because I sue you. You know?
It is not the right approach, and it's kind of taking away from the nuance that of the origin of, like, what Cavani was trying to do and trying to say.
It's now, hard to explain. Imagine I just said, what up, homie? And someone heard that in a different country was like, That's a gay slur. And you're like, no, it's not. I get that it sounds like it to you, but it's homie, homeboy, right? It's not it's the same thing. It's being dragged over to this other thing that it's not supposed to be. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the Uruguayan FA ain't helping, or the Players Association ain't helping at all.
Did not need this statement whatsoever. Look, I it's great that they want to support Cavani. I'm hoping they look at this ban and maybe make it 2 games or something. Like, it seems a bit aggressive. But by calling the FA racist, you're not really going to get them to start listening.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, this ain't the way to go about it. And don't forget, we have an amazing guest coming up, Ian Joy, who works for everybody. Trust me, you put on soccer, he's either, you can hear his voice, or he's like stringing, you know, mic cords together. He's doing something back there. Let's talk a little bit of La Liga, because for a while there, it looked like Barca was going to be an absolute telenovela.
Okay.
Right? And right now it's not, you know, they're pretty good.
They're improving. Is it a 6-game unbeaten streak so far?
Climbed up to fifth. So Barca in Europa, baby.
Okay. I think they're about 10 points out of first.
They got 28. And I think Madrid has 38. So yeah.
So a couple notable things, right? Lionel Messi, 500 games for Barcelona, which is incredible. I mean, he was playing clearly as a fetus. He's been there for a long, long time. And
let's cut to his reaction. He's like, it's too many games. I should have should have left when I could.
It's crazy that he's played so much, played so well. I've been, you know, the greatest player on the planet. And really, it doesn't really deal with that much injury. I don't know exactly what he does to take care of himself, but he keep doing it.
Not only is he physically in amazing shape, but also, let's not forget, because he does get kicked a lot. So you do expect
quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way to stop him is to, like, you know, like catapult yourself into him. You know what I mean?
A couple of hip checks, you know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that would be my move, is called the hug, you know? You can't get out of it. You know what I mean? Okay, well, you want me to play soccer against this guy?
The only way to stop Lionel Messi is with affection. Yeah, everybody knows that.
Apparently. But every time I hear he doesn't get injured much, it makes me think back about, and again, I mean, rumor that's been mostly substantiated that he got those HGH or whatever, those types of shots when he was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So like maybe he's just got like super tendons, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, yeah, they made him into a superhero as a child. Yeah.
Maybe he got bit by a radioactive tendon. Nobody knows for sure. You know?
Okay, but we need to ask these questions. That's why you come to this program.
Uh-huh.
But they have a lot of issues, right, at Barcelona, and they're managing to win games, but they're not blowing teams out. That's kind of the big like noticeable
still good,
difference.
Though. That's still a good thing though, because you're winning tough matches.
Yes, but it's interesting because they got rid of several players, like, you know, Rakitic and Luis Suarez, now Ronald Koeman has publicly said that Barcelona needs to sign a striker, you know, after Ansu Fati got injured, and everybody's like, well, Luis Suarez has like 9 goals in the last like 12 games.
If only you would have kept a really good striker who it seemed like Messi enjoyed spending time with him.
Yeah. Interesting. It's interestingly enough. So we'll see what to look forward to from Barcelona. They still have a bunch of great games coming up, and Champions League against PSG in February.
That's right. That's going to be wild. Might be his new team.
All right. A lot more to discuss. We're going to be joined by Ian Joy right after this. So come right back.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being. Okay?
Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. That I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus, you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
Hi, baby. We back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and our guest is finally here, Christian.
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled. This is long, long overdue. And you may remember this, this man was not only, obviously we've been fans of him for years, seeing him on NYCFC on Yes Network, NYCFC matches, but he did one of the first drops on our podcast. We had him call in and he left like a voicemail to do a little recording for our podcast that we started 5 years ago.
Oh, I remember. And then I was like, we definitely got to get you on the show. And it just never happened. He's one of the first voices you've ever heard on our show, but he's never actually been on the show. And I remember one time this dude was just on the train with his family, and I'm like, yo, Ian! Which his wife was like, no, it's happening! Everything I've always heard about New York. Loud New Yorkers attacking you on the subway. But it was right when we had just gotten this deal with Fubo. So it's exciting to finally go, look at this, 5 years later, right? Yeah. We went from, hey, could you leave us a voice message to be the drop, to thank you for being on our show. You know him from, as Christian said, from Yes Network. You know him from CBS, but you're about to know him for being on our show, finally in person. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only. We also don't know what the hell he's saying. Ian, joy, everybody.
Ian, what's up?
Do I know you guys? Sorry, do I know you from somewhere? You know, it's been so long. I mean, I've kind of forgotten what you look like, what you smell like, what you sound like. It's great to see you, boys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, buddy.
Man. Ian, yes, like I said, it's long overdue, but you have been one of the voices. You alongside Joe Tollison, an incredible duo. I love that you, mainly because you guys roast each other all the time on NYCFC matches. It's great to see a little bit of, gentle ribbing from time to time there. But Ian, I want to start real quick with how you are doing, because I know you suffered a pretty severe injury. And obviously, people may know you. You were a former player. You played on plenty of clubs. FC St. Pauli, which we're going to talk about in a moment, because we have a lot of our fans of FC St. Pauli as well. But you, I believe, was an ACL injury?
No, I ruptured my Achilles tendon.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe worse. I mean, definitely, I'm sure it did not feel great.
It did not feel good, no. And can you believe it? I went 14 years playing professional. I then made a decision when I stopped playing professional. I'm not going to play competitive sports ever again unless I really have to. So in the last 10 years since I retired, I played maybe two testimonial games in Germany. I played one legend game somewhere. But just like, you know, kind of slow tempo, having some fun soccer, a little kickabout, having some fun, and there was no pressure. It wasn't really competitive, and I was fine with that. I didn't want to play competitive sports again because I was frightened of getting hurt. And then I moved to the East Coast, man, from LA, and you've got all these posh people out here playing this weird game called paddle. I don't even know what it is. I get into it. I love the game. I start to think I'm Andre Agassi at the net, and then rupture my Achilles like in the third game I ever played on this. And it was just, you know, shit happens.
Yeah. Sometimes the world lets you know, like, where your level is, you know? like when I go and play soccer with Christian, we used to do the 24-hour matches at the 30 Rock. They would always ask us to come get involved. I played for 5 minutes. I have pain in my heels. I didn't even know I had a tendon in there. I'm like, I can't move for 2 days. I'm like, what's happening? But sometimes the world just lets you know, hey, homie, this ain't for you.
Yeah, and you realize you're getting old pretty quickly as well. I thought for a minute I was like 21 again while I was at that net ready to make that shot. And I was all in. I was bought into the, you know, I can do this. Maybe I should, you know, call the guys up in NYC and go play some soccer again. No. God had a different plan for me, and I think it was a slap in the face to let me know that I've abused my body enough over the years that this injury is sort of telling me, yeah, calm down, you're getting old.
Okay. Yeah. Now it's time to just get fat, dude. Enjoy it.
Can't do it.
Yeah, like what? How different is the, you know, as a retired player, is the workout regimen similar? Do you tone it down? Do you still have the, like, you know, in case I get the call up to the national team, do you still always want to be prepared?
You know, I had this conversation with Nat Borchers last week. We had a conversation because he also ruptured his Achilles. That's what ended his career. And he had a horror story. He got infected after surgery and he had to redo surgery and all this sort of stuff, which scared the shit out of me, by the way, because I didn't know what to expect. But then he also told me, and we had this discussion about, you know, we are competitors, we're athletes. If you lose it from professional soccer where you have it every single day in your life and then it's gone all of a sudden, you have to replace it with something. So I was running and I've been hitting the gym. I like to stay disciplined. I look after myself quite a lot. And recently, since the move over from LA to the East Coast in Connecticut now, it's been challenging and taxing on my body. And I'm still trying to keep going, but I realize, and I'm getting older now, I can't keep up the regiment that I've had. But I still need to do something every day. I got to do something, even if it's 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, just to sort my mental state out more than anything else. It sets my day up. So I need to keep that up.
I do the same thing. I touch my toes when I wake up, and I'm like, there you go. You know what I mean? Right? You know, just get a gun.
I guess that's a crunch, maybe. Right?
I mean, look, I'm working an ab, okay? And eventually, I mean, you might start to see a shadow. When you look at how your injury, do you look back at your career, which you had a long career, played for a couple great teams. When you look back, do you think like how lucky you were not to get injured? Because you weren't a soft player by any stretch of the imagination either.
No, I got injured in my first ever professional game. I ruptured, second degree stretched my PCL, my posterior cruciate ligament. I was 16 years old at the time. It was one of my first ever professional games, and that changed my whole career. Everything went slower. I became slower. I became unbalanced, so I picked up a lot of muscle injuries. And throughout my career, I had possibly 30 to 40 hamstring tears. I tore my quad muscle. I mean, I did a lot of things because of the imbalance in my body after the knee injury. And it certainly stopped my career from going where it should have gone and could have gone. And I lacked a lot of confidence because of that. But this has brought back so many memories. I remember one of my final years, I was in Salt Lake and I kept on getting a hamstring tear. It was 2009. Things were going really poorly in my personal life. And I got another hamstring tear on the final preseason friendly game. It was against Austin before the regular season started, and I just went off the rails. I just completely lost control, and this injury has brought back many a memory from being in an MRI again, seeing the doctor, now I gotta go to rehab, but I'm in a much better and stronger mental place. But it's certainly nothing I would wish upon anyone. It's been pretty horrible.
Yeah, it's almost like, and I want to talk about it a little bit more after the break, but we spoke about on the show about Christian Pulisic and his constant hamstring injuries, and you wonder, like, is there something that he could be doing? Is there something that maybe just genetically, this is the scenario that he's in? Maybe he had a similar injury where there's an imbalance, but is there anything that you think about, like, oh, I could have done something differently, or that's just the way it happens for some people?
Hey, Chris, it's incredible. It's a great question, right? Because Christian Pulisic is now wondering, when's it going to go again? And he's also wondering, why is it going? What's happening here? Yeah. I did the same thing 20 years ago. I remember being in Germany. I was like, in my second year in Germany, I just tore my hamstring for the third time probably. And all of a sudden, they're trying to find out why. I knew it was my knee, and we knew I was unbalanced, but they changed my diet. They sent me to the dentist. They sent me to the dentist. My coach was a guy called Thomas Doll. He was a German international, fabulous guy, played for Lazio, great human being, didn't speak any fucking English whatsoever, like nothing. And he sent me to the dentist to get my wisdom teeth removed because he thought there was a connection between wisdom teeth and the muscles. And, you know, I'm sitting here like half awake here with a doctor pulling out my wisdom teeth all because of my hamstrings, thinking, this is just, something's not quite right here. Like, something is wrong. This guy's got his knee in my chest pulling out my teeth. But they were trying to find a link, and I don't know. And I fear for people who are slight, who are not necessarily big muscled, who are quick, who are sharp, like Christian is, that unfortunately it seems like some players just have it and some don't.
Okay. All right. There's so much more to talk about with the injury. Maybe specifically about the German medicine. We got to figure out what the hell's going on.
And how I think you misunderstood your coach, dude.
It's already been fun to talk to you. I know you have a wealth of stories, but one thing I do, you mentioned Germany, and you spent a lot of time there. I mean, you've had an illustrious career. You've played in so many different places. But I want to talk a little bit about your time in Germany and playing in Bundesliga 2 and feeling like the you know, I think from the outside, we see, like, I remember I saw a Derby Days on Hamburg mm-hmm. and FC St. Pauli. And you told an amazing story on Yes Network, on the show Yes, We're Here, mm-hmm. about playing for both of these clubs. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because there was a there's clearly an incredible rivalry. And FC St. Pauli in particular are such a unique club. Mm-hmm. You know, if people are not aware of FC St. Pauli, look up this team. The supporters themselves are some of the most, you know, outspoken, anti-fascist, anti-racist, anti-homophobia. They are so much about inclusion. Mm-hmm. What was it like playing for FC St. Pauli? But that also, please mention that story about playing for Hamburg and also playing for FC St. Pauli.
How much time you got, Chris? That was a long question. I mean, this has got 8 different answers to that question you just asked. All right, I love speaking about St. Pauli. I'll start by saying I went over to Germany first and foremost, to St. Pauli, to do a tryout. And I was trying to get into Hamburg because they were in the Bundesliga. St. Pauli were in the Regionalliga, which was the third division at the time. And St. Pauli were notorious for their supporters because of their beliefs. But also, they got 20,000 every single game in this old stadium. When I first arrived in Germany, I went on tryout to St. Pauli. Loved it. Immediately fell in love with the club. Corey Gibbs was there at the time playing for St. Pauli. I mean, that's how long ago it was. And they were in the third division. And there was 20,000 just enjoying themselves, rock and roll music. I mean, they were smoking in the stands. I mean, it was just incredible atmosphere. But the football was terrible. Soccer was crap. And I knew there was a great possibility of me getting into this club, even playing in the first team from the start and helping them, because they were about to get relegated again from the third division. So I went on tryout. They liked me, kept me for like 7 days. They said, we're going to do some testing. Can you come back in a couple weeks' time, because they're going on the winter break?
And they pulled out a couple of your teeth.
Hey, this is standard.
That was at Hamburg. That was a different club. So I went to Hamburg on tryout. In the meantime, I figured there's nothing wrong with going and just testing out here. I'm already in Hamburg. I might as well go and try out there and see, you know, if I enjoy it. Within 2 days, they had offered me a contract, and they were like, we're not letting you go. They wouldn't let me speak to St. Pauli again. They signed me to a contract. I played in a U23 team, trained with the first team. It was just awesome. It was just an amazing, like, jump. I went from, like, lower leagues in England to, I was at Hamburg. They were in the Champions League at the time. And I was training with the first team, playing in the 23s. Life was good. But I couldn't quite make that jump into the first team. It was just too big of a jump for me. I lost a lot of pace and I didn't quite have the ability to make that jump. So I knew I had to leave. And what I did do was I went every single Friday to watch St. Pauli, even though I was playing for Hamburg, because I'd already fallen in love with the club. So I went every single Friday, had my hat on, kept myself hidden. Nobody knew I was there. And it was just a phenomenal experience. And I loved every single minute of watching St. Pauli games, and I wanted to play for the club. And as soon as my contract was coming to an end at Hamburg, the coach who was at the under-23 team was a former St. Pauli player, had already said, we got to get you. This club is just you. It just fits with you, who you are, how you live your life, your own personal beliefs, the way they play. It's rock and roll football. You love to fucking smash people. That's their style, right? Yeah. And I'm like, we got to make this happen. And fortunately, I was playing on a Sunday when St. Pauli were playing on a Friday. And every single opponent that St. Pauli were playing the following week, we played against on the Sunday. So their coaches and scouts were all at our games. And they knew that, you know, it was a good fit. So they brought me into the club. And immediately when I arrived at the club, and you both would absolutely love this, and I'll set it up for you at some point. We went to the club. We immediately met the ultras. I mean, this is on signing day. Sign a contract, go meet the ultras. Meet the ultras. They take you around Hamburg, and the whole team has to do a walk together to introduce you to what St. Pauli really is. I kind of knew because I went to every game, but it was amazing to me to see behind the scenes, to meet supporters, to be one of them, and feel more a part of the family as soon as I arrived at the club. And that's what they do for every single player that plays at the club. And I don't know if they still do it now, because it's sort of got a bit more commercial than it was back then. VIP lounges and all this crap. But it's a hardcore place to play. And whenever you step out in that field, you got to give 110%. They will support you whether you win or you lose, as long as you are giving 110%. And I was very, very fortunate that the team that we had was 15, 16 players of the same level, same ability, same mental state, same mindset, all driven, all trying to prove a point. And we ended up getting promotion, went on an amazing cup run, and had this fantastic time. But to your question, Christian, on the story, before I left Hamburg, they have this old school culture where they come and watch practice, and you get to meet some of the fans. And this old guy used to come watch every single game. He used to come watch games, training sessions, and you'd become friendly with these people. So at my last game, I found him in the stands, went over, gave him my last jersey. Nobody knew I was moving at St. Pauli. Gave him the jersey. They applauded me, thanked me for everything. That was the last I saw this guy for a while.
We'll love you forever. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Nothing, you can't do no wrong by us.
We love you, Ian. Thank you. And I came back for the derby the following year. And not forgetting that St. Pauli was still in the third division, and I was playing against Hamburg's under 23s because they used to compete in the third level. So this was like a mini derby. It wasn't like the actual derby. It was the mini derby. And St. Pauli fans turned up. I mean, we had 30,000 fans travel to their stadium. They had like 10, 15,000 fans. It was packed. The stadium was just packed. And going out to the warm-up was so noisy, so loud. I was proud to be there as a St. Pauli player for the first time. And I'm warming up, just enjoying the moment, having a great time, taking it all in. I got all the boos. I got all this crap from the fans. And some dude's trying to get my attention. And one of my teammates comes over and he says, Ian, there's a guy up here who's like incensed, trying to go nuts to get your attention here. So I turn around and I see the old guy. And he's like, he's got my shirt there. And I'm thinking like, oh, hey. And he raised my shirt up onto a flag and set it on fire in the stands. This isn't a warm-up. And no fucking warm up.
Nothing like a warm welcome of "we're gonna kill you, dude."
You're not gonna enjoy this.
You went to Hamburg while on wait at St. Paul. That's like if you start dating a girl and you're just not sure if you're serious, so you also take her sister out on a date. That's what you did.
Just
so
to make honest, sure.
You deserve it.
It wasn't well appreciated by them. Let's just
absolutely
put it that way.
Absolutely not. And then you went back to the other one.
Yeah.
Obviously, you kind of had this like back and forth through Europe, going from the lower levels in England, getting to some great heights in Germany. When you decide to make that move to MLS, Where is MLS at this point? This is what, 05? Oh, no, 08. 08 is when 08. Is when you moved. What, I mean, MLS is at a very different point than it is today. And how much are you like, yo, these people coming in from Europe are making too much money now. You know, it's not fair. What did you know about MLS then? And, you know, what do you think about some of the folks coming in now? They got a very different experience than you do.
I'll tell you a story I've never told before, because I know that's what you want to hear. I was playing for St. Pauli. I was going through some personal stuff, and I wanted to take my family back to the States and give them an opportunity to go to English school. I had a daughter at the time. I was married at the time, and kind of marriage was breaking up. So I'd already started the wheels in motion sort of for the transfer, and started reaching out to a bunch of teams in MLS using my agent. And RSL at that time were one of the worst teams in MLS. They had struggled. They just hired Jason Kreis and Garth Lagerwey. And Garth responded with great interest, as did Jason, pretty much immediately. And I knew nothing about Salt Lake. I knew nothing about the club, except that they were one of the poor performing teams in MLS at that time, even though they were just a new team. So I invited Garth over because he wanted to come meet me face to face. So I invited him over. We were playing a game against Kaiserslautern. And I remember when we first had the initial email contact, he had said, like, you better be playing if I'm coming all this way over here. And I'm like, listen, I'm in and out of the team. Right? If you come, you come. If you don't, if I'm not playing, well, at least we're going to have a good party, right? He came over and we had just a phenomenal time. I played against Kaiserslautern. It was a great game. I played really well. And after the game, we went to a bar and we did the contract while we were drinking beer. We drank a lot of beer. We got
your agent was there, right?
No agent.
No agent.
No agent. Me and Garth. And Garth's a great dude. Like, great, great people. He's just a superb guy. He had actually spent some time at Freiburg back in the day. And when I played against Freiburg after we did the deal, I'd sent him a jersey and sort of sweetened the deal up sort of thing. But we did the deal over beer, and we were like, we were having some fun playing some games while we were doing this deal. And he's like, I'll give you another 10 grand if you can do this, right? You know, like, so we're crushing beers and just like the contract's going up and up and up, you know? And I'm thinking, this is great.
He keep gets bringing back the to beers. Salt Lake with like a, with, he's got ice on his head. He's like, we're paying the guy $6 million. I'm terrible at darts. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know, but look, I got some Scottish guy with me. He's on the team. Yeah.
He's part owner of the team now. I don't know if I have the authority to do that, but don't play dice with Ian.
You think now of Garth Lagerwey as someone who's won MLS Cup so many times for multiple teams now and just a polished businessman. I mean, this guy is well sought after. I mean, many clubs would die to have him at their team. But this is how it started for him. And the way I wanted to go was because I wanted to go because obviously family and personal reasons first and foremost. But I wanted to go to a team that was trying to achieve something. I'd already done that with St. Pauli. They were at the bottom. We got promoted. I went to a German Cup semi-final and played against all these great teams and had this wonderful experience. I should never have left. That's the way it should be, and that's the way it is. Even though I have no regrets, I shouldn't have left because the club really, they'd offered me a wonderful contract that was multiple times what RSL were offering, and I had a chance to go to the top, to play at the top of the Bundesliga and potentially get a big move somewhere. And you know, sometimes you make decisions that you look back on now, you would never make those decisions now because you've got the experience, but back then, you sort of jump at the chance when it's there. I did that. And within weeks of arriving in Salt Lake, you know, my wife had then gone back to Europe. We had separated, took my daughter with me, and things were just, were not going great. But RSL at that point were building something really special. Jason Christ had some magic going, man. He was a great coach, superb person, awesome, awesome guy to be around, always positive. His training sessions were just some of the best training sessions I'd ever had. And they had some great coaches there. I mean, Robin Fraser was there. Ryan Johnson, BJ Johnson was there. We had Jeff Cassar, who was our goalkeeping coach. I mean, we had multiple coaches who had all had a great experience in the league that were super people, right? Just great to hang around. And we went on a trip to Argentina for preseason. And then we went to Fort Lauderdale. And it was just like one big fun experience. And I loved it. And that carried into the season. The club had never made the playoffs. That season, we achieved the playoffs in the last kick of the game, thanks to Yura Movsisian scoring a goal. And magic started to happen for that club. And of course, the next year in 2009, they went all the way and won it. And that was the year I got hurt and ended up back in mental rehab in Germany somewhere. But it was a fabulous experience at a poor time in my personal life. It was a fabulous experience professionally. And they built something really special. And that team should have won more championships than they did do. They kept the players together and they should have won more championships because they had the quality and the team spirit, the unity. They just got their new stadium. Rio Tinto had just opened. I mean, they had built a real dynasty compared to what it is now. I mean, back then the place was rocking. It was phenomenal. You couldn't buy a ticket. It was that busy, and the team was so difficult to get into the starting 11. Even I had to sit out sometimes. Tony Beltran came in, Chris Wingert came in, Robbie Russell came in. I mean, we had competition for places everywhere. It was a blast, and Jason Kreis and Garth Lagerwey were responsible for that.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
We That's met a hell Garth. Of a story.
We met Garth at the press conference at MLS Cup, right? I believe Alexis.
Yeah. And, now I know to bring you know, whatever. What's that thing with the string and the thing you got to get it on the hook they have at bars? Now I know to bring that with me next time.
What is it?
just fish him in.
Yeah. It's like a little keychain on a string that you got to get on a coat hook. Yeah, let's go. Bring that. Next thing you know, we got Garth Lagerwey giving us all his players for the show.
What a guy. What a guy. I'm telling you now, I can't even imagine what he was like as a player. It must have been great in the locker room. But I came to RSL because of Garth Lagerwey and because of Jason Christ, two great human beings who were actually in a real crap time in my life were there for me. And we remain friends now. And I did a lot of shit while I was there. I did a lot of bad things, made a lot of mistakes. And eventually I ripped up my contract and left. gone. 2009, wow. The year we won MLS Cup. Jeez. I ripped up my contract. I knew I had to leave. I was mentally not stable and was having injuries, so I had to leave. And I went back to Germany to get myself sorted and be closer to my daughter. But those two guys remain really great friends to this day, and I'll never forget some of their stories. And that team, every single one of them, if you go through the names now, compare it to what they have now. I mean, Javier Morales, Kyle Beckham, and Nick Romando, Nat Borchers, Hamison Olave, Yuromov Sisson. I mean, the names just rung out. Ned Grabovoy, just like Will Johnson. I mean, just great people. I've mentioned so many names right there. The battle was on for the starting places. Dima Kovalenko. Remember Dima Kovalenko?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, training sessions used to be brutal. There would be a fight at every single training session because of Fabian Espindola or someone like that just losing their shit. It was just awesome. And I love MLS because of that experience.
Obviously, you are one of the announcers on YES Network for the NYCFC matches. You've been with the club, covering the club since the beginning. And it's been a fascinating ride. I mean, let's start with more recent times, right? The club is making so many changes. We've spoken about it, trading Alex Ring, all these
Matarita,
all these big moves. How are you feeling about what the club could look like and its identity in 2021?
Do you have any idea? Let us know. Man.
I mean, it's a difficult question right now because no doubt the club's going to make some big moves soon. They have to. They have to. It's not been a good couple of seasons. I do like the consistency that the team had within the squad over the last two or three seasons, where many of the same faces, a lot of the leaders returned. This is going to be a lot different when Alex Ring doesn't roll into that locker room and gets everybody fired up. And it's going to be a lot different when you don't have Matarita on that left-hand side that you can rely on, bombing forward and doing what he does best. It's going to be a lot different. And Ronnie Dyla clearly has a way he wants to play. And he has an idea of the player and personnel that he wants to bring into the club, as does David Lee. I think it's going to be an interesting, probably the most important offseason for this football club because of their supporters. The supporters will be patient for a while. The supporters will put up with a lot for a while because they bought into the project from day one. But right now, as you sit, you know, we're so far into the history of this club now. We're still waiting for that stadium to be approved. We're still waiting for some consistency as far as winning titles, as far as winning the Eastern Conference, as far as a head coach. Consistency is key to success in MLS. The most teams that have success are the ones who stay familiar with the players, the coaches, the general manager, and they give players, they give coaches a chance. And unfortunately, NYCFC haven't had that luxury. It didn't quite work out with Jason Christ. Patrick Vieira did his thing. And now Ronnie's got the opportunity, and he got hit by a pandemic. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a worst possible start for Ronnie Dyla. But he deserves another opportunity to really impress. And I actually really enjoyed a lot of the performances from last season from the team. And he made a lot of changes. I mean, he put Alex Ring at like left wing and playing him all over the place. And yet still got good performances out of the rest of the players. They need to make some big signings right now. And they need to make either a big name signing to get the supporters back on board, or they need to make some exciting signings with some youngsters, spend a bit of money where the fans buy back into the project. Because right now I'm getting a sense from the supporters that they're on the fence right now about renewing your season ticket, or am I really going to go all the way with this club? Like, when are we going to get something back? This is the season, hopefully, that fans can come back in. But this is the season that hopefully the fans will get something back from this club. Whether it be good news about the stadium, whether it be some really awesome signings, whether it be a run of great results, it has to be a season of positivity. I think that for the fans, because I am one. I love the club. I love what they do. I like the people behind the scenes. I've really enjoyed getting to know the players. I know you guys are in there with me too. It's great to be a part of this club. And let's not mistake, we're here in New York City, right? You got to entertain. It's got to be a place where you entertain your fans. They want to spend their money on something that blows their mind, that gets them off their chair. that's why we're all here and a part of this club. And I think this season is the most important off season that this club has ever had. And we're going to learn a lot about a lot of people behind the scenes.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, this is going to be an opportunity for Ronnie Dyla to bring in players that fit his system. You know, you have a closer view of what that is. I think a lot of the fans are questioning what exactly that system is. But hey, the guy was, you know, first game is in Costa Rica, you know, then two matches where we don't know, it closed, then Orlando, you know.
It's I just want to get your reaction to the playoff loss, right? That was really one of the most ridiculous ways to lose, obviously in penalties with a defender playing goalkeeper. Well, how did you feel watching that as an analyst and as
you heard
a fan?
Yeah, we heard you.
You heard me. At one point, I said to Joe, I don't know what's happening. And I'm the analyst for this game to tell everybody what's happening. I have no idea.
You're like, can the fans call in? Yeah, because I don't know what's happening.
All right. Thank you again to Ian Joy for joining us on the show. We have to get you back on because you are a wealth you're an archive of so many amazing soccer stories. So we got to make
sure. So much we didn't even cover. We didn't cover Champions League, Portland Timbers, much.
Also, Ian has like four jobs. So this is this is great. So we can mention all of them and we can talk about a bunch more. Ian, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
No. Okay. Yes. I'll take advantage of this opportunity while I've got your cool and awesome platform. First and foremost, I'd like to say thank you to you guys, the Cooligans. I'm really proud of you. And obviously, having watched your journey and being able to see how you've developed and become so popular in a very difficult market, it's awesome to see. And I've got a great deal of respect for both of you as human beings as well, for the way you handle yourself. That means a lot to me. If you weren't cool people, I can guarantee I wouldn't be on your show, and you two are some of the best. So that's plug number one. If you want to follow me, of course I do my MICFC work for Yes, and we're also starting a new show soon on Yes Network, which you will see my pretty face on quite a lot, and that's something to look forward to. There's more news that should be starting in February. It was delayed in from December after my unfortunate incident with my Achilles tendon. But of course Yes are doing a lot of great stuff, and hopefully we'll play a bigger role this coming season as we continue to help people stay positive getting through this pandemic. And in CBS as well, I mean, I'm a big part of the CBS family doing Champions League, Europa League, and we've got a weekly show starting soon on CBS Sports HQ. That group there is just awesome. So everybody just follow along. Yankees, I'm doing some stuff with the Yankees on TikTok. And there's just a lot of cool things that are happening. And I'm extremely grateful for every opportunity that I've been given, especially during a difficult time when so many people are hurting. It means a lot to me that I get a platform where I can maybe put a smile on somebody's face. And I want to thank you guys, the Cooligans, for giving me the chance to do so
anytime,
today.
Anytime, brother. Yes, it's always an honor to have baseball expert Ian Joy on our program.
The accent you expect to hear when the Yankees are on.
Ian, thank you so much for joining us. And everybody, make sure to follow Ian at Joy Paul Ian, right, on social media as well. Great dude. Thank you so much. Absolute honor. All right, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Ian Joy, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cool!